Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Jesus pivoted from Jericho to Jerusalem. He pivoted from the oldest community on the earth. 8,000 years old, Jericho began, 6,000 years before Jesus. He made the pivot from 750 feet beneath the sea level to almost 3,000 feet above the sea level to make that 18-mile walk to Jerusalem, all of which is interesting, but it's not life-changing. What was life-changing is why Jesus turned toward Jerusalem from Jericho. Because his hour was arriving, as the Gospel of John put it. The crucifixion awaited him. The resurrection beckoned him. The time for Christ to culminate his earthly ministry by showing his love for us so that we would know that God knows that we need help, that we cannot save ourselves in the human predicament. We can't save ourselves from the world crisis. We can't save ourselves from our own sin. So he died that we might live, our sins to be forgiven. Jesus also knew that we can only be free to live until we're not afraid to die. And so Christ, by his life, death, and resurrection, showed us what is there to see, that is, life is eternal. We make a short journey on earth, and we make a forever journey on the other side. And heaven begins now as we trust in the Christ. That's really what's going on in the story that Liz and Emma read for us. Maybe it's a little hard to see this part of the story until we get a little deeper into the scripture, which is, of course, why you're tuning in. And you're tuning out from the concerns that press upon you so that when you leave worship today, if the magnificent music that we've had, the wonderful music of our children and that you have sung that's been played, that you may tune in all the more to see what God is wanting to show you about your life without fear here on earth. You may have entered the sanctuary with a question, like the question that Jesus asked that blind man Bartimaeus. I said, "Why? What do you want me to do for you? What do you want God to do for you?" Let's learn from the lesson. Well, we can learn by how we angle the story, how we see what there is to see. Susan, a friend of mine who is an art historian and expert, when I asked her, I said, "Teach me how to look at a painting." You may have wondered that question. She said, "First look at it with your heart." "Really? My heart? My heart doesn't have eyes to see." But what she was saying is open with your heart to experience the painting first, then come back with your eyes to do the analytical work, to try to figure it out. That's what Bartimaeus, the blind man in Jericho, was needing to do to see Jesus. He couldn't see him with his physical eyes. He first needed to see him with his heart eyes. He needed to understand that something big was happening and the big one had arrived, and his name was Jesus, Son of David, Messiah, the Son of God, and he was on the scene, and his heart did not miss what was there to see. Are you looking for God with your heart eyes to see what he's seeking to show you? And then let our physical eyes catch up with the story. It is an amazing story, seemingly impossible. And yet people like Roger Bannister, who just passed away this weekend in Oxford, England. You may recall he was the man who did what many thought could never be done, to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. And so it was on May the 6th of 1954 on a slightly windy late afternoon day there at Oxford. He ran the 4 laps around the center track in 3 minutes, 59.4 seconds. It was a mile that was heard around the world to do what was thought not able to be done, and yet it was done, and then it was repeated just months later in Vancouver, and then we now think nothing of breaking a 4-minute mile unless it's me, and that's really impossible. I mean, even when God said, you know, with God, nothing's impossible, there are but to show that the human race can continue to meet the challenges of opportunity that come in the course of time. That's what God is wanting to work through you. Followers of Christ have been seeking to do that by faith eyes, letting physical eyes make the connection to see the world as it is and to ask God, what do you want me to do in this world? Early Christians did that, and just this past week in Rome, the Roman Colosseum, one of those seven wonders of the world, was lit up in red in the nighttime in order to convey a story of unity with Christians, global Christians, being persecuted because of their faith in Jesus Christ. There in the Colosseum, where by the hundreds Christians had been martyred for their faith, it again was relit in the awareness that people today are still being persecuted for their faith in Christ Jesus. This ancient symbol shining a message for us to understand the world that we're in. Now let's take this a little deeper into the story itself. Jesus had just told them, this 12 apostles, he had just told them, now as we pivot toward Jerusalem, let me tell you why we're going to Jerusalem. Because when we're there, you'll find it in verses 31, 32, 33, and 34, I'm going to be arrested. I'll be unjustly accused. I'm going to be sentenced to death. I'm going to die by crucifixion. And 3 days later, I will rise from the dead. And verse 34 tells an astounding response. It says, the disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. No clue. I mean, they'd spent 3 years with him. He had been preparing them along the way to say, now, we're not just idly living our time here in Israel. We're living with a purpose that is headed towards a destination. It's headed towards a fate of coming to seek and save all who are lost and may know the love of God. And I am the Messiah, and I will give my life for this to happen. No clue. Why did they miss it? It said it was hidden from their sight. Now, some think that God had predisposed them, that God had just kind of limited their capacity to understand, that they didn't have a free will to understand, and that's just not true. They did. They didn't understand for another reason. They didn't want to understand. They were so tied in, they were so attached to their understanding of who God ought to be and what God ought to do, that when they prayed, they were directing God rather than letting God direct them. Have you ever done that before? To empty ourselves as we're praying as part of the gift of prayer, saying, Lord, have your way with me. And so to way of illustrating this, then Jesus stepped into Jericho along the outer city limits, and he heard the voice of a man, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, who had been blind for a while, and he was calling out and saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. The word mercy is compassion, and this word of compassion was what was coming through. And so Jesus said, no, don't shut him up. Don't take him away. That's what you're wanting to do. I think this blind man sees the truth. I think he is seeing what there is to see, and I want you to see through him what's possible. And so he ordered them to bring Bartimaeus to him. And when they brought him, three things happened. First, notice what Bartimaeus said in response to what Jesus had said. When Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? First, he said, let me again regain my sight. So in the call of this number one, it's that let me, when he said that, Bartimaeus knew that he had a role to play in getting well. Now, miracles themselves are a sign of God at work in our world, and miracles may happen in many ways. And like Fanny Crosby, that Debbie talked about in the sermon and Jacob alluded to about her songs, my favorite hymn since I was a child was Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. When we remember that Fanny Crosby was born with sight, childhood disease, poor doctors of treatment, caused her to lose her sight forever. She went through periods, a long period of depression, grief. And then she stepped into it, realizing that her blindness in itself was a surprising gift, because the mercy of God had touched her in a different way with that kind of compassion. And that she had her role to play to open herself up to what God was really seeking to do with her life, that her life was to be a witness by being physically blind to show what could be seen with the eyes of faith. I mean, when miracles happen, it includes nature, but it's above nature. It's supranatural. It includes reason, but reason can't understand all of it, so it's suprarational. It includes our capacity to see, touch, hear, taste, and smell. But it's more than our observations. It's supra-empirical. God works through those dimensions of knowing, but it is more than that. It's when it's touched directly for a purpose to show the power of God in normal moments. Jesus could have healed a lot of people that he didn't physically heal. Not because he didn't love them as much, he wasn't as hopeful for their lives, but he chose moments of doing the direct healing when there was a specific time to be able to communicate, God has the authority. And here he's saying, God has the authority to make my coming crucifixion to be more than what it seems to be, failure on the cross, my being buried in the grave more than what it seems to be, a lost cause put forever under the ground. It is more than that if you'll have eyes to see it with eyes of faith. So when Bartimaeus, realizing that he had a responsibility, his was to lean into what God would make possible, let me. And God is saying to you today, let me in your prayer, Lord, let me be part of your answer for other people. And let me participate in what you're wanting to do in my life. God will do what only God can do after we have done what only we can do. Therefore, do what only you can do, and God will do what only God can do. That's the partnership. We see it in the creation story of Genesis 1, 26 and 28. We see it again here with Bartimaeus. So he said, first, let me, and then he said, regain my sight, meaning that Bartimaeus once had seen. He had once had seen. Now, we recently hosted it at our TriPoint campus, an event that Karen Evans and others helped put together with 30 artists from San Antonio that were inspired by the message of compassion from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25. And then they painted a portrait that they had seen of compassion. And a couple hundred people came to TriPoint, and we had conversation about the passage and the art and visiting with the artists and putting it together to have the eyes to physically see, but then the eyes of heart to understand what this was all about when Jesus said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. When I was lonely, you gave me company. When I was in prison, you visited me. You brought the compassion to me. That's the power. And so Bartimaeus wanted to regain what he once knew but now had lost. Maybe that's been you in life. Maybe you have a regret of something that was a part of your life that's not, and maybe you had a part to play in it getting lost. But you're asking God to help recreate in your life. And God may have to create something that's totally different, and yet it comes out of your prayer of wanting to regain. And so when Bartimaeus said, help me regain, then the Lord did. Bartimaeus knew what it was like to see his family, to see the sunrises and sunsets, to be able to see the turning of winter into spring, to see the Jordan River flow into the Dead Sea. But now he wanted to see, most of all, he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. The eyes of heart in this work of art of God in human flesh on earth, he wanted to see him. And God gave him that gift. You notice in our sanctuary today, we have 22 flags from nations around the world. It's because of our relationship and the vision of God at work at Baptist Universities of America, this amazing institution that reaches out to students and faculty and administrators from 22 different nations. The newest flag is the third one here, that's from Egypt. Last Friday, we had the inaugural service for the installation of our new president. And in Abraham coming to be our new president, it's a sign as we look into the future. So you have a part of this. You can you know that this place was an inaugural service on Friday morning? You may not have known that if you weren't here, didn't read about it. But you see the flags, and the flags mean something's going on. The flags are a sign that something happened that's kind of different. There's an indicator that something global, something like John 3:16 is at work. Well, this is what we're about, isn't it? That when we had John 3:16 getting a hold of our life, that God loved the world so much that he gave us his son, and whoever believes in him, like Bartimaeus, will have eternal life. Our mind gets stretched to the size of John 3:16, and we're never small-minded after that. Our hearts get stretched, and we're never closed-hearted after that. We're changed. And so what you see in this photograph now are seven students at the BUA that I've recently had the privilege of speaking for. And they're from, again, different nations. They're wide-eyed. They're intelligent. They're committed. They're connected. Dr. Sandy Elizondo, a member of our church, is one of their teachers. They pray for Trinity because they know that Trinity, healthy and strong and vibrant, helps them to have their education. Next to that is a picture of, right here in this chair, of August Higgins from our congregation that we ordained to a lifelong gospel ministry this past Sunday afternoon. Commissioned him with the anointing of power of the Holy Spirit for a lifelong work. You know, it's the sense of being able to see what God is wanting to show in our life. You're being ordained. That's the third part of the movement. When Jesus then looked at him and he said, now your faith, your trust, your eyes from your heart is what made you well. And with those words, Bartimaeus again was able to see what he had longed to see. The Messiah was standing before him. Later, a few years later, Saul became Paul, this great apostle of the faith, and in his transformation from being a terrorist who had commissioned the death of a Christian leader by the name of Stephen, was on his way to Damascus, and God struck him blind so that he could see. God struck him blind so that he would regain his eyesight and see everything differently, because that's what we all hunger for, isn't it? Instead of thinking, how can I be a mother, and how can I be a father, and how can I be a leader at work, and how can I be a leader here at Trinity Baptist Church, and how can I be a son and a daughter, and how can I study in my class? How can I do all of this? I'm gonna gear down and work at it harder and harder and harder so I can be better and better and better. And we discover we just get more tired. Unless there's some key by which it all comes together. That's what having the eyesight to see makes the difference. And the eyesight to see that one thing by which we see everything else is being able to see what Bartimaeus saw. Being able to see this presence of the Christ right in our midst. Now, Bartimaeus, through the rest of his life, because he went on to follow Jesus, would always see him in the gratitude of again being able to see. So in the touch of God in your life, it is in your gratitude for what you're most thankful of what God has done for you. Always be looking for God through that gratitude, and he'll show you more. C.S. Lewis said, I don't believe in the S-U-N because I can see it with my own eyes. But I believe in the S-U-N because by it I see everything else. The power of the S-O-N is that through him we are able to see everything else. And what did Bartimaeus do? Well, it says. He wasn't like the apostles. He said, I don't get it. He was like Audrey, baptized this past Sunday. Their beautiful witness of a faith in which she said as a seven-year-old whose father had died 3 years earlier, whose mother loved her and grandparents, and her mom's about to marry a good man, a stepfather, she was able to say, I know Jesus, and I give my life to him. The sight to see when we're willing to see. And so Bartimaeus, from then on, followed Jesus and gave praise to God. What do you want God to do for you? Are you willing to do what only you can do? So God will do what only He can do. Let's pray together. Lord God, we come as your people now, at this time in our lives, at this point in world history, to let you have your way in our lives. Be with us. Now, as we're about to stand and sing and we respond to your call, you're called to say yes, Lord, yes. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.